No way. I will give you all my Star Wars guys if it is. Wait, wait, wait. Except Boba Fett. No matter how sure I am, I never risk the Fett man.
TheForce.net and RebelScum.com present the weekly Force Cast. And now your hosts, Jason and Pete.
We would be honored if you would join us.
And welcome to another action-packed, fun-filled episode of The Force Cast, the official podcast of TheForce.net and RebelScum.com. This week's show is brought to you by OfficialPicks.com. For the only official source for authentic Star Wars autographs, go to OfficialPicks.com. That's picks with an X.com. I'm Jason, and with me always is my good friend Pete.
Coming up on this week's show for September 8th, 2006,
more original trilogy DVD news, a Rebel Scum forum member scores, the Home Shopping Network, the Sci-Fi Channel, a Labor Day diorama, and Neenum all feature in this week's news from the Force.net news desk.
We'll be joined in the cantina by official fan club president Dustin Roberts, and we'll be bounty hunting the latest Star Wars collectibles with news from Gentle Giant, Hasbro, Sideshow, and more.
Pete has some news on LucasArts' next-gen game title due out next year in our gaming segment.
And we'll jump back into the Crimson Empire with a spotlight on Karnor Jax as our expanded universe character of the week.
Plus, listener mail where you become the star in the Star Wars universe. It's all coming your way, so let's punch it!
I have good news for you, my lord.
That's good news.
Come closer, I have good news.
And our first story this week, on the heels of last week's announcements regarding DVD incentives coming from various retailers, Circuit City and FYE are getting in on the act. Circuit City will be offering vintage poster prints with full color presentation folders featuring the A New Hope style C artwork, the Empire Strikes Back style B artwork, and the Return of the Jedi style B advance artwork. Now, if you're unfamiliar with what artwork we're referring to, and we give you these little code numbers, check it out at TheForce.net, where they have a very expansive poster archive. It's very cool. I learned a lot just by flipping through those pictures.
Yeah, there's lots of posters in there that you remember from maybe from your childhood, and probably lots that you don't remember.
Absolutely. They've got the foreign posters. They've got the re-release posters for the different theatrical releases. I can tell you, I do know, because it's one of my favorite posters, that the Style B, Return of the Jedi Advance poster, is the red background, large Vader silhouette with Luke and Vader fighting down in the bottom right-hand corner. And my wife points out, when she's looking at these with me, she goes, well, why does Luke have a red lightsaber and Vader have a blue lightsaber? And if you look at the art, that is the case. And it looks like it was just a compromise based on the fact that they had a red background and where the red laid. We're geeking out a little bit here, but nonetheless, it was kind of interesting. So check that out. And stop by your local FYE store, where when you buy the original trilogy on DVD, you could receive a pack of 7 exclusive Topps trading cards in the style of the classic Topps series for Star Wars, The Empire Strikes Back, and Return of the Jedi. 3 of the cards are shown on signage in front of the FYE stores. And StarWars.com has added their year in review of 1983 for Return of the Jedi, as well as menu shots for the Return of the Jedi theatrical release bonus disc, based on various posters from the original release campaign. The Star Wars road trip featuring Darth Vader, Chewbacca, and Wicket is winding down in Las Vegas on September 9th. A small snippet from the official site reads, on September 9th, Chewbacca, Darth Vader, and Wicket the Cuddly Ewok will journey to Las Vegas, where they plan to greet local fans and conclude their coast-to-coast road trip in high style. Their itinerary includes a classic trip in and out of town on the Las Vegas monorail, visits with the casts of the hit shows La Rave and Mamma Mia, a spa treatment at the renowned Canyon Ranch Spa at the Venetian, which is going to serve as preparation for a quintessential Las Vegas experience as Chewie, Darth Vader, and Wicket stop at the Graceland Wedding Chapel to attend the wedding of 2 lifelong Star Wars fans. What are we going to do with ourselves when these DVDs come out and we have nothing new to talk about?
I don't know. I still haven't decided which one of the sets I'm going to go out and pick up. Yeah, there's so many choices to choose from.
Well, let's just kind of run down the list one more time. Okay, at Best Buy, we've got the collectible tin when you buy all 3 movies. I think all 3 movies are going to come packaged in this tin.
Right.
$89. And it's based on the Style C, a New Hope movie poster. Walmart has the vintage Marvel graphic novel movie adaptations. Target has the concept art. Circuit City has vintage poster prints with the presentation folders. And FYE has a pack of 7 exclusive Topps trading cards. So it seems like there's something in it for everybody. Which way are you leaning?
I haven't really decided yet. I haven't figured out which one I like the best.
Well, I know you're kind of a comic fan. I assumed you were going to go for the comic adaptations.
Well, and that's probably where I'm leaning over from the standpoint that I do remember having some of those, especially the Empire Strikes Back comic, which sat on my shelf in pristine condition for quite some time.
Is it still in pristine condition?
No. Didn't survive the move out of the parents' house.
And we also wanted to bring your attention to a really cool promotion over at Play.com. Now, Play.com, from what I gather, is a British e-tailer, British-based e-tailer. And what you need to do is go over to, they have a special site set up for this at starwarsq.co.uk. And I'm going to spell it out. It's starwarsque.co.uk to join the queue for a chance to win prizes. This is a really cool contest where visitors will register online and you can choose an original trilogy Star Wars character to represent you in line. They have a lot of different ones to choose from. They actually get in the queue, or as we say here in the States, get in line. So contestants will actually move up in line by emailing the details of the contest to their friends. If your friends sign up and register and get in the contest themselves, it pushes you up further in the line. It's very cool. So the first person in the queue at 12:01 a.m. on September 11th will win a scale Y-Wing replica.
That is the Master Replicas Y-Wing.
Yeah, that's what I'm assuming it is. I don't think it says on the site.
It looks like it is. Yeah. There is a picture of it, but that's...
Yeah, I don't know anyone else who's making replicas that nice, so...
No, absolutely not that nice, nor that expensive.
Right. What's the value on that thing?
Over 600 pounds.
Okay, yeah, so... Yeah,
that's British pounds, not human pounds.
The 5 runner-ups will receive goodie bags complete with a Darth Tater, a t-shirt, and production notes from Return of the Jedi signed by Warwick Davis. Registrants can also post a favorite Star Wars anecdote, story, or quote for site visitors to read. All right, here's what we did. Pete and I both signed up for this thing.
I'm not doing very well.
I started at like number 471. That was my number. Pete, you started at where?
500.
And where are you now?
511.
So
I am actually falling backwards in line.
I've actually moved up. I am number 31, which is really amazing. So here's what we want. Fans of the Forcecast, this is what we'd like you to do. Send us an email if you're interested in doing this. Send us an email. Send it to podcast@theforce.net. Make sure you give us your name, where you're from, and your email address. And I will send you an invitation to join the queue. You register, and here's what we'll do. If I win, we're going to give away the prize package. If we win the Y-Wing, we're going to give it away here at the Forcecast. So send us an email, podcast@theforce.net. Tell us that you want to be joining the queue with Jason, and we will sign you up, or we'll send you an invitation to sign you up. And if we win here at the Forcecast, you're going to get a chance to win, an even better chance to win than you would have if you just signed up yourself.
Absolutely. And in line with the original trilogy DVD news, Rebelscum.com forum member Duke19 happened to stop by his local 24/7 on September 2nd to find the new original trilogy DVDs sitting on the shelf. After checking with a clerk, Duke scooped up a copy of each and posted detailed photos of the packaging, inserts, and discs in the Rebelscum forums. Look for a link to the forum thread on our show notes at theforce.net. The pictures have irritated some members of the forums as they confirm that the original theatrical version of the films are indeed presented in 4:3 letterbox format with a 2:35:1 aspect ratio. This should not be new to fans as it was announced months ago that this would be the case.
Okay, so big surprise. Somebody actually got a copy of the DVDs and lo and behold, they're not anamorphic widescreen.
I'm not really sure why this is such a huge deal. I mean, I can kind of understand it. But I know that you and I have very differing opinions on this. I'm not all that concerned that these aren't in the anamorphic widescreen. But I remember very vividly sitting on a bed in my spare bedroom while I was sick at home with the chicken pox, eating saltine crackers and watching Empire Strikes Back on a 13-inch color TV that I thought was the coolest thing ever. So it really isn't going to bother me that I have to watch it on what will still be a much bigger screen and won't quite be the same way. And really, if I didn't want to watch it anamorphic, I'll just pop in the other disc.
I guess what I'm thinking is I wasn't really holding out any hope that this was going to be, you know, some big farce from the folks at Lucasfilm, and we were going to, you know, finally get the DVDs in the stores and they're going to say, anamorphic widescreen 5.0, you know. It's not going to happen. This never happens to me. I never get to walk into a store and see something that shouldn't be there on the shelves.
No, never, never.
Well, you shouldn't say never.
All right.
You should tell them what happened to you 2 weeks ago.
Except for when I walked into Rite Aid last week and saw on the shelves the swinging Ugnaught figures from the Power of the Force line, which came out 6 years ago. Actually, even more than that now, 8 years ago in 1998. Just swinging there like, hey, we've been there before, but... Been to that Rite Aid several times and never seen those there. So somebody found them in a warehouse and went, we should put these on the shelves. Of course, they didn't discount them at all.
And the Empire invaded the Home Shopping Network on Memorial Day as they offered up 3 hours worth of Star Wars collectibles. A rundown of the featured items include Master Replica's scaled lightsabers, effect sabers, their scaled AT-AT prop replica, as well as some Dark Horse comics signed by artists, illustrators, and actors alike, a lost lithograph featuring the art and signatures of Greg and Tim Hildebrandt, and rounding out the selection, a framed film cell montage featuring 35mm cells from all 6 of the Star Wars films. You know, I gotta say, despite the cheese factor of Shop at Home Networks, that it was just kind of cool to see Star Wars back on TV again like that.
One thing that I kept going back to and I kept thinking in my mind was, this stuff is cool, some of this stuff is really nice, but it's all stuff that we've seen before. It's stuff that I would want to just go online and buy from an e-tailer or directly from the manufacturer as opposed to buying on TV.
You know, I mean, I think we've gotten so friendly with our these niche e-tailers that we know of, some that are sponsors of this show and the websites. But I think for me, what I always liked about the old QVC Star Wars shows is it was stuff that I had never seen before. You know, this was the early 90s before I was online. And it was my way of seeing Star Wars items that you weren't going to find at the toy store.
Yes, there's certainly not many surprises out there for us anymore since we have sites like RebelScum.com and TheForce.net that keep us appraised on all the new items that are coming out, some that we're interested in, some that we aren't. So there's something out there for everybody, and if you're just keeping an eye out, you're always going to know what's on the go.
Well, and I thought that one of the nicest things was that their prices were, I thought, pretty reasonable on most of the items.
Absolutely.
Competitive, I'd say.
They were at least competitive, and, you know, those are some high-end items. So the prices, although they weren't maybe in the price range of what I was looking for as far as some of the items were going, they were certainly competitive of with some of the other online retailers or stores or whatever.
I still, that AT-AT, it just, every time I see it.
It's very cool.
It brings a little tear right here.
Single tear.
The official website of the Sci-Fi Channel, sci-fi.com, has asked Star Wars fans to vote for their favorite scene from the original trilogy. Just log on to sci-fi.com and click on the Star Wars promotion to view and vote for your favorite of 6 scenes from A New Hope, The Empire Strikes Back, and Return of the Jedi. There are 2 scenes from each film in which to choose. The candidates are, from A New Hope, Luke and Leia swinging across the chasm inside the Death Star, Obi-Wan duels with Darth Vader to cover the Rebels' escape, from Empire, Luke leads a daring attack against Imperial walkers. Also from Empire, after their duel, Vader reveals that he is Luke's father. From Return of the Jedi, Luke and Leia chase enemy troops on speeder bikes, and Han, Leia, and R2-D2 try to break into the Imperial bunker. Tune into the Sci-Fi Channel's Dark Angel on September 11th when the winning clip will be aired.
Did you cast your vote yet?
I have. As a matter of fact, did you cast yours?
I have.
Out of all those 6 scenes, what's your favorite?
I had to go with the AT-AT scene from Empire Strikes Back. Just again, huge memories of that. Always one of the things that as soon as it snowed outside, that's exactly what I was outside doing.
Attacking AT-ATs?
Yes. Also known as trees in my backyard.
Well, for me, it was the duel between Darth Vader and Obi-Wan. And I know that, you know, in hindsight now, looking back, after seeing the incredible work that was done in the prequels for the lightsaber duels, that lightsaber duel is not all that exciting. But to me, it's the intensity in Alec Guinness's performance, and especially now that the prequels have been released and we know all that backstory, And to see these two aged warriors come back, face each other one last time, and Obi-Wan making the ultimate sacrifice, even after making a sacrifice of raising Luke or watching over Luke on Tatooine, making the ultimate sacrifice and giving up his body for Luke. Great scene.
The actor who played Lando Calrissian's Sulistan co-pilot during the Battle of Endor, Michael Quinn, has started his own blog at StarWars.com titled Views from the Cockpit. Quinn, in addition to playing Nub, was also one of the talented puppeteers on Return of the Jedi. Check it out as he updates fans about what he's doing, puppets he has for sale, and things going on inside his head. You can see it and many other great posts at blogs.starwars.com.
Do we have any excerpts from Michael's blog?
I believe there's actually one audio excerpt that we have here with us.
All right.
Rebelscum.com reader Stephen Hayford gives us a look at Labor Day around the Star Wars universe with his custom diorama celebrating the Labor Day holiday. It appears that even stormtroopers find time for fun in the sun on their days off. As the great song goes, clones just want to have fun.
You know, I know that this is kind of an old story now because Labor Day was last week, but I saw it and it just made me smile, it made me laugh, and I was like, we got to give this guy a plug because I loved it. I mean, any shot of stormtroopers flipping burgers just kills me.
Yeah, and then sitting in full armor with a sun shield is always a great idea.
And for links to all the stories we discussed this week, check out our show notes at theforce.net and rebelscum.com.
Where are you going, Master?
For a drink.
Sorry about the mess.
You will never find the more wretched hive of scum and villainy. We must be cautious.
And we're joined in the cantina with the official fan club president, Dustin Roberts. Dustin, welcome.
Hey, thanks for having me. It's good to be here.
Pour yourself a drink.
Oh, yeah. I'll have the Mandalorian cocktail.
Sounds good.
I have to recommend the blue stuff. Does it come with an umbrella?
Well, Dustin, let's just kind of get right into it. For our listeners out there, they've probably heard of Dustin Roberts one way or the other, being on various Star Wars websites. Where might people have heard your name and maybe seen some posts that you've written?
Well, I got my start a few years back over at yakface.com. I helped run that site with Mark Minicucci for several years before joining rebelscum.com. And once I joined rebelscum.com, that kind of opened the door to theforce.net. So if you're at any of those sites, you'll probably see my name posting news and providing content. So that's where I'm at.
Now, most recently, people have seen your name because you were a candidate and the winner for the official fan club promotion to be the president of Hyperspace. How did that, do you know about how that came about? When did you get the idea, hey, I'm going to run for this?
I was approached by a friend of mine who, he wanted to run himself, but didn't have the time or the resources to do it. So, you know, he kind of edged me on and said, hey, why don't you go for it? And, you know, after thinking about it, I said, you know what, it'd be fun. You know, we're gonna approach it like a mock campaign and just, you know, take pokes at it, tongue-in-cheek kind of thing from the beginning, kind of mocking it in a sense, but at the same time wanting to promote a product that we feel is a valued resource in the community, which is hyperspace.
Since you won, are there any things that you're looking forward to doing or anything you've already got been able to do because of the title you hold, the honorary title, I guess it is?
Yes, the title is honorary for 1 year, and I am truly honored to be holding it right now. I'm really looking forward to Celebration 4. That's Memorial Day weekend in 2007 in Los Angeles, and I'm hoping to, you know, meet some new friends out there and meet up with my old friends and, you know, have a good time.
That's cool. And you also had some official duties at Comic-Con earlier this year, didn't you?
Oh, yeah. When I won the contest, I got the trip to San Diego, and this was my second trip to San Diego, believe it or not. Everybody thinks I go every year, which is not true. But for my second trip out there, I actually got to present an award at the fan film contest that they StarWars.com holds with Adam Films. And they had me present for Best Comedy, which went to Sith, which was kind of like a take on Punked. But it was, of course, Sith Lords. And it was very well done. Those guys deserved it, no doubt. You know, so I got out there, and I was supposed to meet up with Steve Sansweet, Mary Franklin, for, you know, to run through like a dry rehearsal. And everybody kind of took their turn, and I got up there and, you know, read a few lines that I was supposed to read, and, you know, then you turn this way and you present the award and yada, yada, yada. Well, I come back later that night at like 8 o'clock at night on a Thursday, and I'm like, I didn't think there'd be that many people there, to be honest. But, oh my Lord, there was about 4,500 people there, 4,800 people,
oh my gosh.
I found out after the fact. And it was a little nerve-wracking, but looking back at it now and taking it all in and seeing the pictures, you know, hey, I'm up there presenting an award at San Diego Comic-Con. That, you know, I look back 10 years and I say, you know, I never imagined I'd be doing something like that. It just, you know, it was a good feeling. I had fun with it. It was great. Good time.
That's very cool. There's a lot of work that goes into those movies. Did you get a chance to view any of them?
Yeah. You know, they would show a clip here and there, and then, of course, they had a montage with all of them together. And I wanted to say the coolest thing I took out of it was an actual 4-minute teaser trailer for the movie coming out called Fanboys. It's coming out next spring. There's no tentative date on it yet. First quarter of 2007. The movie's called Fanboys. I believe the director's name is Kyle Newman. Kyle showed us some footage that just had me laughing for 4 minutes straight. If you're a Star Wars fan, I mean, you are going to get every joke. You're really going to enjoy this movie because it takes what I feel is our culture, our community, and it makes it work. I don't think it's a movie where you have to be a fan to understand the gags. Look forward to more news on this coming at theforce.net. It's not necessarily a Star Wars film, but it's got a Star Wars theme to it, and you will definitely enjoy it.
Well, I'm sure they won't be disappointed in the box office if it's Star Wars related.
Dustin, where did this all start for you? Where was the Star Wars moment that kind of got you going and began your Star Wars experience and then kind of pushed you towards wanting to be involved in the community?
I'd have to say, if I look back at it, it's been close to 10 years now since I started collecting again. When the new toys came out in 95, 96, that's what sparked my interest. As did it for quite a few people out there, I'm sure. At the time, I've always been a general fan, you know, I've always been a fan. I've always had a copy of the original trilogy on VHS somewhere in the house, you know, before DVD and all that. And, you know, would occasionally watch them, but when the toys came out, I was like, man, I've got to have a few of these. These are kind of cool, you know, they're only $4.99 or $3.99, whatever they were when they first came out.
Oh, back then.
Good old days. And jokingly, my now ex-wife, at the time, she bought me every orange carded figure she could find. And it was like 12 or 15 figures, but it was like supposed to be a joke gag gift, you know, for Christmas. Well, little did she know.
The joke was on her.
It turned into a monster because, you know, right around, that was Christmas of 96. So in spring of 97, we've got, you know, the special editions came out. I had to get that, you know, Theater Luke, and by this time, you know, I'm getting into the internet, and I was, you know, pinging emails with people, started doing trades. That's where I started meeting people at first, was online, just, you know, doing trades and stuff like that. And there were a few websites out there, but basically ran by guys who had some free space on their server that they got with their, you know, local ISP account or whatever, and it would be, you know, Bob's Tatooine Trader or, you know, Mark's Power of the Force 2 page. That kind of stuff. Well, there was no, you know, real relevant domain names, you know, like we have today with Rebel Scum and Yak Face and all these other high-end collectible websites out there.
I remember sitting in my dorm room waiting for the picture to load of the Grand Moff Tarkin Power of the Force figure, and I think it took like 3.5 minutes for just this little picture to load up, and I'm like, this is the greatest thing ever.
Oh, yeah. I remember, you know, guys asking for, you know, hey, send me a donation and so I can get a scanner so I can get better images up online. I mean, you know, back then, I mean, if you wanted to get a scanner or a camera, that was a good chunk of change.
Let's back up a little bit. You talked about where the Star Wars Renaissance kind of found you. When you think back to when you were a kid, was it something that you immediately were akin to, or is it something you just kind of matured into?
Well, when I was a kid, I was totally into it. I had, you know, I didn't have all the toys. Of course, everybody has a friend who has all the toys, so.
Right.
Jimmy Thomas, if you're listening, get a hold of me. Jimmy, my buddy Jimmy Thomas from California. We both lived in Sacramento, so I'm looking for him if anybody knows him. Out of all the kids on the block, he had every toy. And, you know, it was
right.
Always fun to spend the night at Jimmy's house. I remember, you know, all the 12-inch dolls he had and all the big, cool toys. And right down to even like the, you know, the Chewbacca bandolier figure holder, you know what I mean? You know, the toys played a major role because, you know, I was raised on it. That's, you know, that's what we had. That was our thing. I'm part of the Star Wars generation. And it wasn't until, you know, a little later in life, after Jedi, after Power of the Force 2, or Power of the Force, I should say, you know, they tried that one last push. It just wasn't doing it anymore, and that's, you know, the G.I. Joes came out. All the other guys were doing G.I. Joes, so I was doing G.I. Joes, and Mom made
Well,
me
Pete was doing G.I. Joes.
Yeah. Yeah, I love G.I. Joe. Nothing against G.I. Joe. I'm not a collector to this day, but I know a lot of guys who are, and, you know, I'm happy that somebody's doing it. But Mom made me make that choice, you know what I mean? She come out and she said, you know, it's one or the other, Star Wars or G.I. Joe. And unfortunately, I chose the wrong one there. So I lost all of my collection to the Salvation Army.
Oh.
Yeah.
And were you one of those kids that your toys looked like there was somebody playing with them? Or were you one of those that, you know, they still had all their weapons and they were still in pretty good shape?
I still had all my weapons. I took good care of them, but I didn't baby them or keep them in plastic bags like I do now. You know, you know. There was probably a little bit of wear on them, but I didn't, you know, purposely try to blow them up or bury them or de-limb them or whatever, you know. I took care of them. I took care of what I had because it's all I had.
Okay, so we know that you lost all your vintage stuff and you got back in with the new toys. Where are you at now with your collecting? What's really got your eye now?
Collecting nowadays for me, I've gone through phases, and I feel everybody should go through phases or will eventually go through phases unless your name's Sansweet. He's just got everything. Yeah, under the sun. When I first started, I was, you know, balls to the wall, hardcore collector. I wanted everything that had Star Wars on it. I was trying to get everything. And then, you know, at the time, I was living in a small 2-3-bedroom apartment. That just wasn't going to cut it for storage. So after Episode 1, I had to make a decision, you know, do I really want carded figures or do I want loose figures to be able to store them? You know what I mean? It was a storage issue. So literally one day I sat down and I opened up about 500 carded figures. Right in my living room.
Oh.
You know, put the bags out and was like, okay, this gun goes with this guy. I've trimmed down tremendously since then. I go through phases where, you know, I want to collect one thing and then I want to collect another. But right now, it seems like my main focus right now, and it has been for the past couple years, is R2-D2. So anything and everything R2-D2 that I can get my hands on, not just, you know, 3-inch figures, but custom stuff, proof cards, cookie jars, anything. T-shirts, kid shirts, hats, socks, ties, pins. If it's got R2 on it, I want it, and I'm going to try to, you know, get my collection going that way.
R2's not your favorite character by any chance, is he?
Well, yeah, he is, you know. That might have a little bit to do with it, but I enjoy collecting R2 because it seems like whenever there's a rut, if I'm, you know, if at the time, you know, I was collecting the Hasbro 3-inch line, you know, maybe you're in between waves. Well, hey, I can go on eBay and I can always find something that's R2 related. That's one thing I like about it. There doesn't seem to be an end to it for me. So,
do you have a favorite piece in your collection?
Yeah. I've got a few, but I can narrow it down to one or two, I would think. On the R2 side, there's a custom aluminum handmade R2-D2 that I got from a guy in Mexico, Antonio Diaz. I first saw this piece when I was at Rancho Obi-Wan, Steve Sansweet's.
Yeah, we'll definitely talk about that later.
But that's my favorite piece in the collection right now, is that little aluminum handmade R2. It stands about, I don't know, 4 inches tall. It's got movable legs and a retractable third leg. It's got a door that opens on the front with a little arm that comes out. The head turns. It's painted. It's detailed. It's everything you would want. I mean, it looks like a, you know, $300 item.
How many do you think he's made?
You know, I'm not sure how many he's made, but I know that the one that I've got is different than the one that Sansweet has, so I don't know if each one is different or he's got 2 or 3 different models that he's selling.
You've got a website that you've started dedicated to R2 collectibles, is that right?
Yeah, I'm running r2d2central.com on the side. Basically, it's, you know, it's set up similar to Rebel Scum. Basically, a place where I can archive my collection with a photo gallery and, you know, any relevant news that, you know, happens to be R2 related in the collecting world, I try to post up there. It's a little outdated right now, but I've been real busy this year with the campaign we had going on and getting married this fall.
So if we go to r2d2central.com, would we be able to see a photo of your 10 R2?
I believe so, yes. I do believe it's up there. It's already been archived. I haven't done anything lately also because my camera's broke, so as soon as I get my camera fixed, I'll start cranking out updates on that again.
Well, you alluded to it just a moment ago. So you spent some time at Steve Sansweet's Rancho Obi-Wan?
Yes, I've been out there twice.
Wow. What was that experience like?
Since I've gone there, there have been a lot of photos published on the internet and video segments that Steve has done himself at StarWars.com. But before I went out there, I hadn't seen any pictures. I just heard stories. And when I went out there, and he's got this whole little presentation he likes to do where he'll turn off the lights and turn on the music and then open the door and just watch his face, their jaws hit the floor. Like, wow! He just loves that. But it, literally, it's jaw-dropping. It's just, there is so much stuff in that space that you could spend a year there and not touch everything. You know what I mean? It's just, there's wow. that much in the collection. It is amazing. If
wow.
But at the same time, it's like, okay, I give up. I'm never going to be able to catch up with Steve. There's just so much. It is unbelievable how much stuff. You wouldn't think that there's that much. If you're a normal collector out there who's just hitting up a Walmart here and there or Target or whatever, well, go back and imagine hitting every Walmart in every country over the past 20 years and how much wow. stuff they've produced. It's just amazing.
He also has a lot of vintage stuff, doesn't he?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. He's got some really nice vintage stuff, definitely.
Was there anything there in particular that you thought, wow, would I love to have this, or I got to have this?
Oh, there's way too much there. My list is really long for cool stuff I wanted, Steve's.
Yeah.
But originally it was the R2 that Antonio had made, but Steve was kind of, didn't want to give him up and didn't want to, you know, share the info at first, but I eventually talked him into hooking me up with his man Antonio down in Mexico, and I'm very grateful for that to this day. But if I had to pick another thing, I don't know, there's just so much there. It really is amazing. He did have one of those Japanese R2 refrigerators there. I did see that. That caught my eye.
Oh, wow. That's pretty cool.
I left my card in it, you know, in case you wanted to get rid of it. Give me a call.
And for the second half of our exclusive interview with Hyperspace President Dustin Roberts, tune in to the next Forcecast.
Hey, what are you trying to push on us?
A fine addition to my collection.
He's worth a lot to me.
And before we kick things off here, we wanted to mention that our good friends at the DC Metro Area Star Wars Collecting Club, they still have some Chewbacca pins for sale. Now, I don't know if you've seen these, but it's sort of a cartoon picture of Chewbacca, and he's climbing the Washington Monument. It's very, very cool. Proceeds benefit the NIH Children's Inn in Bethesda, Maryland. They've already raised and donated $4,300 to date for the charity. So if you haven't purchased one yet, or you need some great stocking stuffers, or if you got that Star Wars fan that you got to buy something for and you just don't know what to get them, much like that eternal question, what can you get a Wookiee for Christmas?
When he already owns a comb.
How about a DC Metro Area Star Wars Collecting Club pin featuring Chewbacca? Check them out at DCSWCC.com. That's DCSWCC.com. Stands for DC Metro Area Star Wars Collecting Club. And we're going to kick off our bounty hunting segment this week with some news from Gentle Giant. A recent thread in the Rebel Scum forums reveals Gentle Giant's plans with their expansive line of Star Wars merchandise. Poster Mark_RebelScum had a chance to sit down with Amanda Burns, Eric Liga, and Dev Gilmore of Gentle Giant Studios and get word firsthand on what collectors can expect from the company in the months ahead moving into 2007. The team mentioned that the bust-up line will get a new look, taking a radical change to show off its Japanese roots. The new sets promise to still sit in with the existing releases. Look for the first pieces from this new line next summer. And those chase pieces collectors love to hate aren't going anywhere either. Gentle Giant relies on the excitement caused by these rarities to keep collecting the items exciting. Dev recalls, quote, "There's just something magical about the blue Snaggletooth. It had to be included in the line. We just hope collectors have fun with them, and if someone happens to get one, it just stands out as something special in their collection." As far as how many get produced, Eric and Dev typically make that decision together, taking the subject, character, and details of the piece, as well as what they've done before, into consideration and come up with a number. The team then uses feedback from customers, retailers, as well as hitting collecting message boards to see if the number is practical and ensures that the item is attainable. Quote, "It's not about milking the brand or collectors. It's about putting a piece out there that holds its value and remains a worthwhile collectible." Moving on to the increasingly popular minibus line, Gentle Giant says the expanded universe will continue to be open territory for the company as long as there is interest. Gentle Giant entered the Expanded Universe fray with the releases of their Black Hole Stormtrooper and Mara Jade minibusts earlier this year. A word of warning. Gentle Giant is aware that bootleg mini-busts have begun to show up on eBay and other online venues. They suggest collectors use caution and insist on inspecting the certificate of authenticity and make sure the handwriting matches the writing on the piece. On the subject of the rumored mini-helmets, Gentle Giant has confirmed that details are still being worked out, but a line of helmets compatible with the classic Riddell line is in the works. I did not know that there were bootleg mini-busts.
Well, there's bootleg pretty much anything if you go out there and look for it hard enough.
You think that's my ticket, though? Maybe since I missed out on all of these mini-busts, I could...
I think you know yourself well enough to know that you would not be happy at all having bootleg versions of the ones that you missed out on.
I don't know.
It would only fuel the fire more for you to get the actual ones
you're
that you
right,
missed
you're
out
right,
on.
You're right, because I would sit there and I'd say, look how cool this one looks. Imagine what the real one looks like.
Right, and it could look exactly the same, but it has this certificate, and that would drive you nuts.
Well, I missed out on the Riddell mini helmets. I remember when those were out, like, gosh, 10 years ago. I'm not going to make the same mistake I made with the mini busts. If they put out the helmet line, I'm in. I'm totally in. Because I'm never going to be able to afford the Master Replica Vader helmet. Never.
No, never.
And moving right along to Hasbro Toys, the official site at Hasbro recently posted pics of the second wave of the commemorative tin sets. Scheduled for an October release, the sets boast the following figure combinations. In the Episode 4, A New Hope tin set, you'll get Darth Vader, Princess Leia, Tatooine Stormtrooper, and C-3PO. The Empire Strikes Back commemorative tin set includes Snowtrooper, Han Solo in Hoth gear, Snowy Chewie, and Luke Skywalker in Hoth gear. The Episode 6 commemorative tin set includes Leia in Ewok celebration gear, Endor Rebel Trooper, Scout Trooper, and Darth Vader. Okay, so I think these tin sets are kind of cool. It's a great way for collectors to get figures that haven't been out for a long time. My problem here is we've got three sets and two Darth Vaders.
To go along with the six other ones that have been released just in this year.
I mean, they are so Vader happy. I mean, I thought that all the troopers were bad. And I know I'm going to run the risk of maybe offending some troop builders out there. Hey, we love you guys. We respect you guys. But my Lord, I mean, it's just... We'll get to that in a minute. We've got a lot of troopers that have, some pictures have hit the net. But enough with the Vaders already. Here's my fear. And we talked about this earlier. My fear is that they're going to really keep cranking these Vaders out. Vader's going to continue to swing on the pegs. And they're going to say, you know what? There's just not a lot of interest in Vader. And then they're going to get a really cool idea for another Vader figure. And they'll say, well, but all these other Vader figures didn't sell. That's my concern.
It certainly is getting to the point where the only thing that you can find stuffed, crammed onto each one of the pegs is the same Vader figure. At least with the troopers. You're getting at least a different paint app. You're getting something different each time with that. Instead of the same Darth Vader figure every single time with floating junk or in some other, you know, bonus tin series to make it sound like it's something great. One or two a year, max. I think at this point we are Vadered out.
In addition, Hasbro has posted pictures of the last two waves of 3 3/4-inch figures planned for 2006. In case you missed the prior announcements, starting with Saga Collection Wave 7, collectors can look for Darth Maul Sith Training. Now, this is a repack from the Power of the Jedi line. It's the Darth Maul figure. He's in a pretty wide stance, and he's got a... obviously black cloak on, but it's got red trim on it. It's a cool figure, and it hasn't been out for a while. So for you Darth Maul fans, it's a good one to pick up that you might have missed. And there's a Chewbacca with C-3PO on his back. Now, this is a repack from the Saga line, the first Saga line that came out around the time of Episode 2, and it features a dismantled C-3PO on the back of Chewie. Now, this one is very cool. The Kit Fisto that they're releasing. Now, this is a kind of a movie-accurate version of the Clone Wars Kit Fisto figure that came out sporting that shirtless look. And it's actually a very cool figure. So we're getting it's a extremely retooled figure. They're probably reusing some old parts, but for the most part, I'm considering this one a new figure. The holographic Clone Commander Cody. Now, I know there's some dispute out there whether or not this is a new figure. It's the same mold, but they're using the clear blue plastic, and I actually really like the holographic figures. Also making an appearance in Wave 7 is a two-pack of battle droids featuring camouflage deco from the Battle of Kashyyyk. And for our troop builders, they'll be happy to see three new clone trooper figures in Wave 7. The 5th Fleet Security featuring new paint apps with the blue deco. The Episode 2 version of the clone trooper featuring new paint apps with the green deco. and the 442nd Siege Battalion clone trooper with new tooling and new paint. And rounding out the wave will be R5J2, the black astromech droid as seen on the Death Star 2 in Return of the Jedi, and a new super battle droid. By new, I mean a repaint and a possible retool. Moving on to Wave 8, we have the holographic Obi-Wan Kenobi based on the mold for the pilot Obi-Wan figure from the Episode 3 line, a retooled and repainted 501st figure in the form of Commander Apo, an Elite Corps clone trooper, the precursor to the Scout Trooper, in his Kashyyyk deco. Yeriel Proof, the Jedi Master, gets single-carded treatment this time. The figure was released before as part of the Saga Jedi High Council multi-pack. And another astromech droid makes its way into figure form with R4K5. Now, this sounds like a EU character, as they're positioning it as the astromech droid that Darth Vader chooses after he loses R2 after his move to the dark side. A new Padme Amidala figure, a significant retool that sports her look from the Battle of Geonosis in Episode 2 before her shirt was cut. And the final figure on tap for the 2006 Saga Collection is the Combat Engineer Trooper, which also looks to be a retool and a repaint. Cinema Scenes return to the Star Wars universe. Well, sort of. The Galactic Heroes line of figures for collectors of all ages will be retooled, repacked into deluxe movie-themed 10-packs. These will begin showing up in stores this fall. The first 10-pack is the Episode 2 Battle of Geonosis, including two clone troopers, a battle droid, a super battle droid, Jango Fett, Padme, Obi-Wan, Anakin, and C-3PO. There's an Episode 3 Jedi vs. Sith 10-pack, including Grievous, two clone troopers, Yoda, Emperor Palpatine, Obi-Wan, Anakin, Kit Fisto, Count Dooku, and Mace Windu. For Episode 4, they've chosen the Death Star escape as their theme, including figures of Stormtrooper, R2-D2, Princess Leia, C-3PO, Obi-Wan, the Death Star astromech droid, Chewie, Han, Luke, and Darth Vader. For Episode 5, it's the Bounty Hunters in the spotlight, with two Stormtroopers, Dengar, Boba Fett, Zuckuss, Forlom, Bosk, IG-88, and Darth Vader. So it looks like the Darth Vader is popular with the Galactic Heroes line as well. And some interesting confirmations came out of Hasbro's 10th Q&A with the fan community. New revelations are that a super articulated Qui-Gon figure has been confirmed for being on tap in 2007. Also announced is that bases and stands will be coming to the 3¾ line also in 2007. From what I understand, these are very similar to the bases that have come with the 2006 Saga line of figures, but they're going to expand that to have bases for all of the films, including, it's rumored to be, an expanded universe base, which is very cool. Also covered are the technicalities at the warehouse level being responsible for the failure of Hasbro to create a subscription service to accommodate fans and collectors that are looking for a one-of-every-wave subscription. That's kind of interesting. So the breakdown, apparently, according to Hasbro, is, well, how do we, at the factory level, at the warehouse level, package up the waves that we're sending out to the stores that might have two of this figure, one of this figure, three of this figure? How do we get the folks that are packing those boxes to pack the boxes for the one of every wave subscribers?
Yeah, it sounds like it's one of those things that there should be a simple solution out there, but anyone who's worked for a big company knows that there are no simple solutions to any complex problem like that. There's going to be something that just makes it not work. And although they're going to continue to revisit it over and over again, it's one of those things that until there's a perfect solution that jumps out, it's probably not going to be feasible for them.
I'm just happy that they keep addressing it, and it is something that they continue to look at. And you can check out RebelScum.com for a complete roundup of all the community's questions and links to their answers. It's updated just about every Friday.
Sticking with Hasbro, RebelScum did a massive update to the photo archives with a 24-hour run on the Titanium series. Photos now include the Executor Star Destroyer, TIE Bomber, TIE Interceptor, A-Wing, B-Wing, and Sandcrawler, the Colonial One, Colonial Raptor, and Viper Mark VII from the Battlestar Galactica series, Bosk and Sand Trooper from the 3¾ Titanium line, and finally, the Ultra AT-AT. On a sad note, for fans of the larger Ultra Titanium series, of which the AT-AT is, in the Hasbro Q&A number 10, they revealed that this line will be discontinued this fall due to less than desirable sales.
Another line bites the dust. You know I'm not a big vehicle guy, but I feel for the folks who are. I know that there's a strong base of collectors that are really into the vehicles, whether they be the Hasbro vehicles, for the figures, or the diecast. So my heart goes out to you guys. I know this was a line that you're probably going, why are they canceling this line? Because I love it so much. But I guess overall,
just like the Unleashed and all the other lines that have been canceled in the last couple of years, there's a great fan base for them all, but I guess just not big enough for Hasbro.
You're never going to get over the Unleashed, are you?
No, never. In Sideshow news, Sideshow continues to show its customer focus and collector consciousness by deciding to ship the 1/6 scale Bespin Han and Mace Windu together for Canadian customers. Collectors in the Great White North usually get stuck paying higher shipping rates and very high duty fees for these figures. Sideshow is taking on the new approach of combining the two to help cut down on these costs. It is unknown if they will continue to do this, but Sideshow continues to show that they know where their bread is buttered. As far as their products are concerned, Sideshow revealed in its podcast that the next entry in the 1/6 scale Order of the Jedi series will be the Keldor Jedi, Plo Koon. Plo Koon is noted for the mask he used to assist his breathing and his fiery death in Episode 3. The photo archives at RebelScum.com have been updated with gallery photos of Bespin Han and Mace Windu 1/6 scale figures, as well as the Medicom VCDs, Darth Vader and Stormtrooper super deformed figures. And finally, Sideshow has a special offer for their fans. Any purchase of an in-stock item will also snag the collector a $10 gift card for Sideshow. Also randomly inserted will be four $500 gift cards. The only catch is that you can only use one gift card, so choose wisely.
You know, I really like to see that when a retailer takes their collectors into consideration like that, and particularly with the rising costs of shipping. All the shipping costs across the board have gone up recently.
Absolutely. And one thing we definitely have noticed from Sideshow is that they've got a real good, keen eye on what's going on in the collector world, and is always focused on what the customers are looking for.
And so they're giving away a gift card. Is that what they got going on now?
Yeah, that promotion is you just have to order an in-stock item. But the rub is that if you go there, the last time that I checked, they didn't have very many Star Wars items that were actually in stock. In fact, the only one that I saw was the 1-to-1 full-size scale Greedo head bust that they have. So if you're interested in that, you know, you can purchase that one, although it is $500. But if you purchase it for $500 and then win the $500 gift card, you get it for free.
It all comes out in the wash. In LEGO news, Rebel Scum reader Mike from Arizona wanted to alert the community that the Ultra Collector Series AT-ST is now starting to show up at Toys R Us stores for $89.99. However, this is $10 more than the price at the LEGO homepage, Shop at Home.
In Wizards of the Coast news, as a continuation of last week's revelations of the latest releases in the upcoming Bounty Hunters line, a poster surfaced this week which shows all 60 of the characters that will be included in this release. Some of the things to look forward to are larger vehicles like the Snowspeeder, Crab Droid, and Desert Skiff, large monsters like the Flea Rider and Crate Dragon, and all of your favorite heroes, villains, and bounty hunters, including two versions of the most notorious bounty hunter, Boba Fett.
That's going to do it for bounty hunting this week. As always, keep your browser tuned to RebelScum.com for the best in Star Wars collecting news.
I was once a Jedi Knight, the same as your father, before the dark times, before the Empire.
Always in motion is the future, beyond the outer rim.
Master Voss has moved his troops to Bos Pity.
Dark Horse Comics has released a new ad teasing the forthcoming title, Dark Times. Star Wars Dark Times answers the question fans have been asking ever since Revenge of the Sith: what happens next? The first issue of Star Wars Dark Times is due to ship October 25th. The 5-issue story arc called Path to Nowhere will pick up after the events of Republic No. 83, which was the last issue of that series, and Revenge of the Sith. Featuring Das Jannir, who first appeared in Republic No. 79, Into the Unknown. The series is going to alternate arcs with Star Wars Rebellion. So, while the first 5 issues of Dark Times are shipping, Rebellion will be on hiatus. Then, when the next Rebellion arc ships, Dark Times will be on hold. This is rumored also to be part of the tie-in with the next-gen LucasArts game, due next year. Art for the first arc will be by Doug, Revenge of the Sith Wheatley. The first issue will feature an alternate cover, but good luck getting it. Editor Randy Stradley at Dark Horse says, quote, "It's 1,000 copies published, with 100 copies each sent to 10 winning retailers. So those alternate covers will only be available from those 10 retailers. It's part of a new retailer promotions that Dark Horse is starting. Dark Times number 1 is the first book in the promotion. The alternate cover is Doug Wheatley's uncolored pencil art of the Dark Times number 1 cover.
This week's Expanded Universe Character of the Week is Kir Kanos' fellow guardsman and early sparring partner, Karnor Jax. Jax was the son of a Thyrus sun guard who was killed by Palpatine after failing a mission. Jax joined the Empire at an early age, beginning as a stormtrooper and ascending through their ranks, serving as one of the famed Black Hole Stormtroopers, and eventually being tabbed to train for the elite Royal Guard. During his training, Jax proved to be a skilled warrior and an arrogant and confident adversary for friends and foes alike. After the brutal training, Jax was asked to fight to the death with his training partner, whom he dispatched with little thought, then watched with disdain as Kir Kanos showed remorse for having to do the same. Although fiercely ambitious, Jax served the Emperor loyally until the latter's death in the Death Star 2. Jax laid in wait, serving the subsequent leaders of the Falling Empire until he was dispatched to serve under the Dark Lady of the Sith, Lumaya. It was then that he began to hone his Force sensitivity and became the Sith apprentice to Lumaya. The two were a formidable duo that rose to power under the remaining Imperial hierarchy and dispatched other Sith followers across the galaxy. When Palpatine returned to power through the use of clones, Jax returned to service in the Guard, but his loyalties remained with his new political allies. Jax secretly plotted against the Emperor and bribed his physician to sabotage the Emperor's clones, causing him to age quickly and eventually be destroyed. The physician named Karnor Jax as his briber, which meant little to the rebels that were interrogating him, but became the sole mission of the lone guardsman that overheard from the shadows. Jax tried to cover this by sending the Black Hole Legions to destroy the remaining guard, which they succeeded in, save the one that Jax wanted, Kir Kanos. Jax declared himself Dark Lord of the Sith and de facto Emperor, taking on the uniform reserved for the elite master of the Royal Guard. As the Empire regained hold on the galaxy, Jax went on the hunt for Kanos, eventually tracking him through some rebels. They returned to the Guard training planet where Kanos waited for a final showdown to the death. They entered the squall.
Oh, wait. You can't tell them how it ends.
You know what? You're right. If you want to find out the end of this story, and also check out the 12-page epic duel between Kanos and Jax, pick up Crimson Empire.
Or you could pre-order the Entertainment Earth exclusive Karnor Jax Kir Kanos 2-pack.
That's right. Issue number 6 of the original Crimson Empire series does ship with those two figures. So if you want to check it out, you can pull it up there.
All the classic battles.
Delta Squad, execute door breach.
Any way you want.
We have all but destroyed the Jedi Knights.
Fight as a Jedi.
The Old Republic is crippled.
Fight in space.
Darth 3PO?
If you haven't seen the pre-viz video from LucasArts' Next Generation Star Wars title, make it the first thing you do after this podcast. This video was first shown to fans at Comic-Con and blows the doors off of what we have come to expect from video games. The one-minute trailer shows Jedi Force powers unleashed in ways that we have never seen and has fans salivating to unleash them on the Empire. If this doesn't get you excited, then nothing will.
Well, this is the video that was initially just available to hyperspace members.
Right.
And so now it's broken out. It's kind of gone mainstream. You can see it for free at IGN. And it's actually a little bit bigger, I think. The screen resolution is a little bit larger. And it looks un-friggin' believable.
Yeah, it is definitely going to be the event for 2007. I know they kind of previewed it that as this being the next big thing, and I kind of just blew it off and said, yeah, it's just a video game, but wow. And it's from the rumors that we've heard, it's definitely going to take place right in the middle of the Star Wars timeline, fill in some of the gaps. It is going to be an awesome title.
It's almost like Star Wars reimagined, or for lack of a better term, Star Wars Unleashed. I mean, because or Star Wars Extreme, maybe, because these force powers that they're showing are just unbelievable. I mean, they're kind of brutal, which is a little different than you're, you know, expecting. I mean, there's no blood or guts or anything like that, but just the sheer power of these troops being thrown up in the air, thrown into a building, and then and getting in the crossfire of an exploding TIE fighter is just unbelievable.
Yeah, they really unleashed the imagination of the artists and the creators and kind of gave them, looks like, free will to do whatever they thought may be possible in the Star Wars universe, so that the Force powers just look great. And there's nothing better than taking a stormtrooper and tossing him into the side of a building.
Except maybe your boss.
Play back the entire message.
What message?
Message, Arthur, the message.
The Emperor commands you to make contact with him.
It's a trick.
Send no reply.
And we've got our very first viewer mail segment. And, you know, I just want to thank everybody for emailing us. We've had a really, really fun week of reading all your emails. And they've been very supportive. And it seems like you really like the show that we're doing. And that we're not going to have a show if you're not downloading and you're not listening. So we can't thank you enough. So we're going to start off with an email from Jennifer. And Jennifer didn't put where she's from. But she says, first off, I'd like to say, love the new podcast. Freaking awesome. I love the features, the news, the interview, very enlightening, and other features. I'm primarily concerned with the Disneyland auditions you guys spoke of. Since I haven't read much about it elsewhere, I was surprised that you guys mentioned it. I work for Disney, and it had been long rumored that they had Star Wars costumes and that characters would be auditioned for soon. And indeed, the new Jedi Training Academy show is set to start in October. As a female fan, I'm only slightly miffed by the casting call. You did, however, miss another audition that they had held a few days after the male audition. They held an audition for females on August 30th who were 5'6 or a little taller. Can't be taller than the man, after all, she says. Athletic build, etc. Here's the catch. The audition for the men was titled Audition for Male Jedi Masters. The female audition? Female Jedi Knights. So on that note, Disneyland is being slightly sexist in showing their lack of Star Wars knowledge. Ever heard of Aayla Secura or Shaak-Ti? They obviously haven't. I was going to try out, but I couldn't this round. Perhaps the next, I'll let you guys know if there are other interesting bits come out about the show. Thank you very much, Jennifer. See, that's what I'm telling you.
Aha! See, we were right.
Absolutely. Not only are they prejudiced against those of us who are slightly vertically challenged, but also, you know, a Jedi Knight only? No female Jedi Masters out there.
I think if we went through the archives of the Jedi Order, we would find several fantastic and outstanding female Jedi Masters. Thomas H. of Savannah, Georgia writes in, gentlemen, I think it is safe to say the premier Star Wars podcast is here to stay. You guys did an excellent job with the content. I'm really just being nitpicky, but the sound effects were much louder than the voice level. This killed my ears between segments. I love the interview. I can't wait for the next one. The toy reviews were excellent. I immediately purchased the Cure Kanos Karnor Jax 2-pack after you mentioned it on the show. I had been eyeing it since they announced Jax was the second figure, but decided to go for it after hearing you guys brag. Thanks for a great week. Can't wait for the next one.
Well, thank you, and I am aware, we're both aware, that we did have a little bit of problem with the vocals. I think we're going to have it taken care of this week. Bear with us. This is still a work in progress. We're always tweaking, always refining. And our good friend Dustin Roberts over at theforce.net said, get rid of the saber. I don't like the saber. So, well, if you notice, we had something a little bit different this week. Well, but point noted. And I just have one question for Entertainment Earth. Where's my cut? And Kevin writes to us, both of you did an excellent job. It was fast moving, lots of facts, good interview, and I really like the EU character feature. I'm just getting in the EU. My advice, if you want it, is don't change, as in be organized, keep conversation on topic, and have fun. The only thing I thought was a little annoying, the lightsaber sound effect got really loud when I was wearing headphones. Thanks for taking the time, and keep the fans updated. We hear you. We hear you on the lightsaber effect, and, you know, I'm having that Office Space flashback about the TPC reports or whatever they were. I know it's not a problem anymore. I fixed it. Yeah, about that lightsaber sound.
Well, I got to tell you, this is the real world, pal, and we don't have eight bosses. We've got thousands of bosses. At least that's how we hope it. Keep tuning in for those EU characters of the week. We're going to keep that going every week, so hopefully that'll feed your fix for the EU. And finally, listener Mike Cole chimes in with, just wanted to drop a line to you guys and say thanks for fueling my Star Wars fix. Been a fan since I was 7 in 1977. Keep up the great work, and I look forward to your next podcast.
Well, thanks, Mike, and thanks to everybody who wrote to us. We've really, again, had a blast responding to all these emails. We do read everything that comes through, and chances are you're going to get a response from either me, Pete, both of us. Dustin's reading some of the emails, so we're having a good time, and keep them coming.
Well,
Well, that's going to do it for us this week. We want to thank Dustin Roberts for joining us in the Cantina. And a big thank you to our sponsor, Official Picks. Remember, for official authorized Star Wars autographs, check it out at officialpicks.com. That's picks with an X, officialpicks.com.
And most of all, thank you to all the listeners for the overwhelming welcome into the Star Wars community. Keep those emails coming to podcast@theforce.net.
And remember, we've got the promotion for the Star Wars queue at play.com. If you want to join, if you want to be a member and queue up in the line, send us an email and we'll send you an invitation. And maybe we'll win this contest and make sure that one of our listeners walks away with the prize. So that email address one more time is podcast@theforce.net. Until next week, I'm Jason.
And I'm Pete.
And remember,
the Force will be with you, always.
This podcast is not endorsed by Lucasfilm Limited or 20th Century Fox and is intended for entertainment and information purposes only. The official Star Wars site can be found at www.starwars.com. Star Wars, all names and sounds of Star Wars characters, vehicles, and any other Star Wars related items are registered trademarks and or copyrights of Lucasfilm Limited or their respective trademark and copyright holders. All original content of this podcast is the intellectual property of TheForce.net LLC unless otherwise indicated.